Hello, world. That's right, I'm Timothy Hill, sitting in for the one and only Dr. Greg Patton. It's Monday, April 5th. Welcome aboard. Let's get to it. Walking with someone when you cannot agree on the direction or goal is frustrating. Yet that's exactly what we sometimes try to do with God. In the scriptures, he gives us guidance for life, but then when we don't follow it, we're surprised to see that he's walking in a different direction than we are. Scripture uses the term walk to describe the course of a person's life. For instance, Noah walked with God by having a relationship with him through faith, and John's gospel uses the phrase walk in the light to explain what is required of those who want to follow Jesus. To walk with the Lord in his light, we must confess and forsake sin, pursue righteousness, and obey his commands. We can't claim to walk in the light if our life is characterized by the darkness of sinfulness or a sinful lifestyle, or if we're holding on to anger, bitterness, or resentment toward others. What about you, friend? Are you trying to carry old baggage into your walk with the Lord? The attitudes, habits, and conduct that were yours before Christ must be abandoned in order for you to walk with God. How about President Joe Biden? According to an AP poll, border woes have hurt the Biden approval on immigration. More Americans disapprove than approve of how President Joe Biden is handling waves of unaccompanied migrant children arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border, and approval of his efforts on larger immigration policy falls short of other top issues, suggesting it could be a weak point for the new administration. Personally, I'm kind of shocked that this is even a question. A new poll by the Associated Press, Center for Public Affairs Research, also shows that solving the problem of young people at the border is among America's and Americans' highest immigration priorities. 59% say providing safe treatment of unaccompanied children when they are apprehended should be a high priority, and 65% say the same about reuniting families separated at the border. Former President Donald Trump built his presidency around tough policies that expanded and fortified border walls, made it harder for people fleeing drug violence and other desperate circumstances in Mexico and Central America to seek U.S. asylum, and separated immigrant families. Biden tried to seize political momentum on the issue by promising a more humane and orderly system, but his administration has struggled to cope with rising numbers of migrants coming to the border, especially unaccompanied children. Overall, 40% of Americans disapprove of Biden's handling of children reaching the nation's southern border without their parents, compared with just 24% of who approve. So basically, people are sitting back and looking at the situation on the border and saying, oh, President, you could do better. I don't even know that it would take a giant national poll to figure out that it's a mess and that the president is not making it better. He's making it worse. And it almost looks like, and I'm not saying that it is, but it almost looks like either pure incompetence or they're doing it on purpose. It might be a little column A, might be a little column B. Hard to say. How about that infrastructure bill? Senator Roy Blunt says the GOP would support $615 billion in actual infrastructure. Here's what he has to say. The Biden administration is making a big mistake in loading up a $2.25 trillion infrastructure. I'm saying that in air quotes. You can't see that on the radio here on April 5th, beautiful Monday going. But in air quotes, infrastructure package with things that do not pertain to roads, bridges, airports, or technology. That's what Senator Roy Blunt, Republican from Missouri, says. And he rebuked the legislation as purely partisan. I think there's an easy win here for the White House if they would take that win, which is make this an infrastructure package, which is about 30%. Even if you stretch the definition of infrastructure some, it's about 30% of the $2.25 trillion we are talking about spending. This is what the senator said on Fox News Sunday. He also noted that about 30% of the proposal would be roughly $615 billion for roads, bridges, airports, transportation services, and even things Democrats could loosely call infrastructure. Instead, the senator lamented Democrats are pushing a massive spending package that includes a lot more non-infrastructure spending, much like they did with the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill in the American Rescue Plan. Democrats are, quote, trying to take 70% of this bill and call it infrastructure in a new way than we've ever talked about infrastructure before. That means you're looking at another partisan package just like we had with COVID. Spend, spend, spend. Well, yesterday was Easter. I'm happy Resurrection Sunday late. I guess I could wish that. I explained to my 5-year-old son, Hudson, who's cute as a button and otherwise known as Wild Man, why do we celebrate Easter? And it's not about the bunny. It's not about the eggs. It's not about, you know, a whole host of things. What it's about is celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pretty simple. Well, apparently not to President Biden. Biden fails to mention Jesus in Easter address, instead opting to talk about COVID. President Biden has come under fire for failing to mention Jesus Christ in his Easter address, but he did mention COVID-19 seven times. He says, "We share the sentiments of Pope Francis, who has said that getting vaccinated is a moral obligation." Biden, who claims to be a devout Catholic, took an opportunity to promote COVID vaccines in his address, which further stirred the latest fears of the coronavirus. Critics said his address was an insult, as he failed to honor the Christian symbol of faith and instead used a supposedly religious message for political purposes. Shock! And Biden's COVID address also caused dismay among Christian communities, many of whom oppose vaccinations for any purpose. My question is how do you have an Easter address without talking about Jesus? It's a fraud from the beginning if you're not talking about the reason for the celebration, whether the president is a devout Catholic or not. You wouldn't celebrate. It's beyond the pale. It's beyond understanding at this point. But hey, what's new? I don't normally get too personal on Hello World when I get to guest host. That's right, I'm Timothy Hill, sitting in for Dr. Greg Patton. But this story hit me pretty hard because I was actually going to this. Major League Baseball, by the way, was the first time I was ever going to get to go in my almost 40-year existence. Major League Baseball announced Friday that it is moving the 2021 All-Star Game out of Atlanta in response to a new Georgia law that has civil rights groups concerned about its potential to restrict voting access for people of color. The 2021 MLB Draft, a new addition to the All-Star Game festivities this year, will also be relocated. And in a statement, Rob Manfred, who is the MLB commissioner, said the league is finalizing a new host city and details about these events will be announced shortly. A source told ESPN that the 2022 All-Star Game is still planned for Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, assuming they don't, you know, pass any laws or any legislation that offends someone in an office somewhere. So it'll still be in Los Angeles next year, but you know, over the last week, we've engaged in thoughtful conversation with clubs, former and current players, the Players Association and the Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. And that's what the commissioner said. I've decided that the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and MLB Draft. And like I said, me personally, you know, I mean, there's tons of commentary, impossible commentary. Me personally, I'm bummed because I had tickets. I was going to go to the Home Run Derby. It was going to be a beautiful thing. Connected to this, Georgia GOP legislators to Coca-Cola, we want you out. Certain Republican Georgia lawmakers want Coca-Cola products removed from their offices after the corporation spoke out against the state's new election law. In a letter to Kevin Perry, president of the Georgia Beverage Association, eight members of the Georgia House of Representatives, and that they complained, and it gives the names, Anderson Crow, Barton, Ridley, McDonald, Gunter Hill, that's Dwayne Hill, and Marcus Wedauer, complained about Coca-Cola. Given Coke's choice to cave to the pressure of an out-of-control cancel culture, we respectfully request all Coca-Cola company products be removed from our office suite immediately. Should Coke choose to read the bill, share its true intentions, and accept their role in its dissemination of mistruths, we would welcome a conversation to rebuild a working relationship. And Coca-Cola said in a statement that it had been working with the Metro Atlanta Chamber in expressing our concerns and advocating for a position of positive change in voting legislation, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to backtrack. That's, you know, basically what it says. One more story from Georgia. Georgia House threatens Delta in their tax break after CEO slammed new voting restrictions. This comes to us by way of CNN, that conservative bastion that it's not. Georgia's Republican-controlled House this past Wednesday voted to revoke a major tax break for Delta as punishment for its CEO's public criticism of the state's controversial new law clamping down on ballot access. The state Senate did not, well, you can hear the bias in the CNN article. Long story short, the Georgia House says, okay, fine, if you want to talk bad about us, we'll just, that's fine, do your thing, we'll take your tax incentives away. So you see the back and forth and back and forth. What is interesting to me about the situation in Georgia is it has been understood for a long time that corporations, you know, they kind of infer, and, you know, I'm being a former legislator myself, a corporation or a company can come in and say, well, you know, if this law passes, it could harm us. It could harm our business, the way we do business, whatever. You know, certainly advocating for a position well within the normal course of legislative business, legislative activity, politics in general, policy making. What is different this time is it is in the open and it has nothing to do with the way that they do business or their corporation makes money. It is a social perspective. So you have a Verizon, for example, which everyone knows that they consistently donate to somebody like a Planned Parenthood. Everybody knows Pepsi, you know, contributes or participates in liberal activities. But to me, this is one of the very first occasions. It's so much in the broad daylight, and it now is this extreme action between corporations directly and legislatures. Buckle up, because it's going to keep happening and keep happening and keep happening and keep happening. And we need to pray for our legislators all around the country. We need to pray for Congress for a host of reasons. But at the state level and the local level, we must pray for our elected officials, because when they take a stand and make a stand for what's right, they get skewered. And by big, deep pockets, these corporations are huge, absolutely huge. And their influence technically and realistically speaking is virtually unending. And so we have got to stand with our legislators and our local officials when they do the right thing. I like what Chris Rappazzini has to say. He says, I do not know how all the components of my smartphone work, but I do know this. If I forget to charge it and the battery is dead, nothing will work. Jesus knew his disciples would need to work together after he was gone. Their success would depend on whether or not they were constantly plugged into the power source, Jesus. After he prayed for himself to glorify the Father, he prayed for his disciples. Jesus prayed for their protection against evil. We are reminded in Jesus' prayer that a spiritual battle is being fought between Christ's disciples and the enemy. After Jesus' departure from this world, he understood that the disciples' unity would be under attack. Therefore, he prayed that they be kept as one, just as he and the Father were one. His prayer reflects his deep desire for his disciples to overcome the principalities of this world by unifying together. Their success in transforming the world depended heavily on the Lord enabling them to work as one. Then Jesus closed this portion of his prayer by praying for his disciples to be truly sanctified. The Greek word for sanctify can also be translated as set apart for sacred use or make holy. Christ uses this word three times in the last three sentences, emphasizing his plea that they are to be used by God for the mission of the world. As Jesus often does, he gives his life as an example of what a sanctified life looks like by going on the cross in fulfillment of his mission to the world. Living on mission in the world is a demanding and challenging task. One of the hardest parts is simply identifying the tactics the enemy uses to get us off track. Pray to clearly see your mission field and for God's protection from the enemy. Why can't people just get along? Progressive group that recruited AOC to run for Congress, first of all, thanks a lot, targets first incumbent Democrat of the 2022 cycle. This is interesting. The progressive group that gave us AOC announced Monday, they've announced today, that it's backing progressive organizer Odessa Kelly in her primary challenge against longtime Democratic Representative Jim Cooper of Tennessee. He represents right around the Nashville area. In announcing her campaign, the 39-year-old Kelly, who took aim at the 66-year-old Cooper's record of fiscally conservative votes in the House, "We need more pathways out of poverty, and the status quo is no longer good enough," said Kelly, a co-founder and executive director of the liberal group Stand Up Nashville. "I know how to build coalitions that get results, and I'm running for Congress so that we can make bold, ambitious change at the national level." Justice Democrats, in a statement announcing their backing of Kelly, touted that "our movement has shocked the nation before, and we are prepared to do it again. As a public servant and community organizer, Odessa is exactly the kind of Democrat we need in Congress." In her announcement, Kelly charged that Jim Cooper is one of the wealthiest members of Congress who takes money from corporate PACs representing weapons manufacturers and real estate developers with no real record of progressive change in nearly 40 years. "This city needs a leader who will fight for the people, who will make Nashville great." Not great again, because that reminds us of, well, someone else's slogan that the progressive side probably would not like to be compared to. So there you go. This is what you're going to see, and this is what we've seen nationally with Democrats. Democrat seats, traditional Democrat seats, it's not good enough to be a Democrat anymore. You must be far left, radical, liberal left in that Democrat seat. And that's how you get an AOC. That's how you get Tlaib and, you know, that whole cadre of folks. Is it's not good enough just to be Democrat. You've got to be overboard, not even progressive. I'm saying not even progressive. It's beyond progressive at this point. It's very radical left. So there you go. Cooper, who is by no means a conservative, challenged from the left, and he's about as left as I thought that you could get. Oh, well, I can be wrong, too, I suppose. Back on national news for a second, Treasury Secretary Yellen to call for global minimum tax rate. Today, the Treasury Secretary Yellen is going to argue for a global corporate minimum tax rate as she pushes President Joe Biden's plans to raise levies on U.S. companies. Yellen's comments, reported earlier by Axios, are part of an effort to prevent companies from seeking locations with lower taxes as the administration seeks to hire levies on American firms to help pay for, well, their massive amount of spending. But the latest in their massive amount of spending is the $2.25 trillion infrastructure program, which, as we mentioned, Senator Blunt says only about 30% of it is actual infrastructure. The rest of it is stuff. I think it was former President Obama, who said, you know, he was seeking a fundamental transformation of America. This is one of those bills that does its best to achieve that. Here's what she's going to say, or is reported to say. Competitiveness is about more than how U.S. headquartered companies fare against other companies in a global merger and acquisition bids. It's about making sure that the government and that governments have stable tax systems that raise sufficient revenue to invest in its essential public goods and respond to crises, and that all citizens fairly share the burden of financing government. In other words, if I'm reading this properly, if I could break it down in a simple fashion for yours truly, hey, we want to spend bunches and bunches of money. When President Trump lowered the corporate tax rate in the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, a bunch of corporations came back or domiciled back in the United States because it made financial sense for them to do so. Well, everybody, hold on to your hats. We're about ready to raise taxes on them, even higher than where it was before, but we don't want them to leave. We want them to stay here. So if everybody else will raise their tax rates too, then everybody can be happy. And our guys won't leave. Well, first of all, I'll be interested to see what the global community thinks about that, because that's bad business. And that's bad for business, because in the world of competition, other countries may want our corporations that are now domiciled in the United States to provide them an incentive to come over to them. That's how business works. That's how a market works. And they know that. Implicitly, they are letting you know that they know that, because they're trying their best to pull the rug out from the market and say, okay, let's all just kind of get together and share in the misery here. And if you'll just raise up a minimum rate, then our guys won't leave. It'll be okay. And everybody will be happier for it. That's ridiculous. And I want to see which country says, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And which one say, no, I don't think so. Because the one that says, no, I don't think so, will stand out. And you watch. You mark it down. It's the 5th of April. It's Monday. It's a beautiful day out there on Hello World. But you just watch. Because what will happen is whoever the country is that has the lowest tax rate that is reasonable, then you're going to see these corporations domicile there. Funny how that works. Funny how the market takes over. Funny how even the Democrats understand. They know what they're doing, and they're participating in the destruction of the greatest country, I'd argue, that the world's ever seen, certainly the greatest nation on earth. Okay. All right. My time is up here for the Monday edition of Hello World. I'm Timothy Hill. It's been an honor to sit in once again for Dr. Greg Patton. Hope you go out and have a great day, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Thanks so much.